At what point did the idea for teaching a class like Media Law Essentials for business leaders occur to you?
That was my research agenda when I first turned up at Murray State. And then I did all the PRJ thing for 10 years, but I'm returning to my first interest, which is the idea of how is law speaking to this new era of people who are publishers who don't even realize that they're publishers.
The core of this class is the idea that a business using social media becomes a publisher, right? And they're open to all of the liabilities that a publisher would be open to.
Oh, exactly. And so let's go back in time about 30 years ago. So if a car dealer, hospital, bank, whatever, wants to get a message out to media, they go to that business and say, here's an ad we'd like to take. Well, someone working there would have known the rules. You can't use that song because it's copyrighted, or you can't just use whatever picture you want. Well, guess what? That gatekeeper is gone. And so now businesses can and do publish directly to social media. In a LinkedIn poll conducted just 2 months ago, said that 81% of small businesses, those that have gross revenues between $1 and $5 million, 81% are currently using social media to advance their business. And the next 9% are planning to adopt those platforms in the next 2 years. So that's huge.
So if there is not a gatekeeper at these different organizations, then what can these businesses do to help protect themselves against potential liability?
Well, that's what this class is largely about. It's risk management. So it's something that really speaks to anyone who's going in through a business curriculum. I think it's a necessary part of their education if they're getting an MBA, PR degree, finance, anything. Really, especially those businesses that are regulated. Those businesses that have like hospitals and the legal practice and the banking industry that says, you know, there are certain disclosures that have to be in all of your media. Well, guess what? It applies here too. And so for those students, this class is created. But concurrently with that, on several occasions through the course of the semester, we'll be joined by area attorneys who are coming in to get their CLE credit, their continuing legal education.
So you're going to have students and attorneys in the same class getting the exact same information, hopefully learning together and maybe teaching each other something?
Well, at the same time, yeah, it's concurrent. So the class will originate from our Paducah campus, Thursdays from 2 to 5. And be available through every campus where we have ITV operations. Then, on several occasions, in that last hour, that 4 to 5 p.m. hour, will be a CLE opportunity where attorneys can come and earn continuing legal education about all aspects of this. It could be something like trademarking. It might be something about estate planning for people who own intellectual property. And I'm not the only one that's going to be presenting the CLEs. I'm partnering with some other attorneys in this area, and maybe someone listening here says, hey, I'd like to talk about this, that will be presenting some of the CLEs where they have subject matter expertise.
Do you have to have any prior knowledge of any of these types of laws or legislation to take this class?
No. I'm going to pretty much start at ground zero. And this is not really a theoretical course. There's some theory to it, but this is a very practical course. This is how you license content. Here's how you get your trademark. Here are some statutory provisions where you can avoid liability if someone wants to sue you for copyright infringement or someone wants to sue you for defamation. Well, here's a few ways that you can go about. I want to teach people how to do a social media audit for their business so that they can be aware of, oh, here's something we might want to change. And then once they've done that social media audit, that they can then put together a comprehensive social media policy for their company.
How settled would you say the laws are in this area at this moment? Have we moved out of the Wild West period?
When I go to the ABA conferences on communication law, it's always, here's what's happening lately. And it seems to be more settled now in 2018 than when I first started going in 2014. But there's still permutations that are happening. But by and large, the media law and regulations that we have were developed 30 years ago. We're just applying them to technologies that were not even contemplated in that time.
Do you see this as a potential fruitful area to be involved in the future?
I think so. There are boutique firms about social media law that are coming on. There are practice divisions within some of the very large law firms that are saying, we're doing social media practice only. One of our recent grads from our JMC program is between her second and third year of law school. She's working in one of those practice areas. So yeah, it's definitely a growing area. But I think at the level of where we are in our region, the size that we are, I don't really know it's going to be a specialized practice as much as it's the same old torts that we've always known. Defamation, copyright infringement. They're just showing up in a new way.
Obviously, if you're a student, I can see the benefit in this class. If you're an attorney getting a continuing legal education, I can see the benefit. What if you're maybe an older, established business leader in this area who wants this information? Is this something that you could see yourself teaching in a workshop setting for non-attorneys?
Definitely. I'm hoping that we'll see some constituents come through. Most areas have like a lot of young professionals, a lot of the tech young professionals, and they have their meetings and so forth. And I'd like to see this be something that they would attend as well. If they don't want the whole course, then maybe show up on that date and do more of an a la carte thing through our continuing education. That, you know, here's something very specific information that we need.
Was there anything else that you'd like to talk about today?
First, thanks for letting me talk about this. Any time that you let an academic talk about his research, it's just pure joy. You know, Tracy, I've talked to a lot of people who say, you know, we really can't regulate what our employees do on social media because First Amendment. One of the things to remember, the First Amendment constrains government actors from what they can say and do. And the truth of the matter is, you can and probably should have policies about how your employees use social media. And there's a pretty good body of law to support an employer in doing that. And so one of the components that we'll have is things that you can put in your employee handbook about employee use of social media, both your own and their social media as well. This is something that is not going to go away. This is something that's going to show up. And a lot of people think, well, you know, this doesn't really make a big deal in Murray or Paducah or Madisonville, but it's coming. And a lot of times these things happen. I see it. I don't want to become the Facebook or the Instagram cop and say, you're doing this wrong, man. That's against the law. That's not really what I'm doing. But I think that there's an ethical component to this education to raise people's awareness that, you know what, you can't just use people's pictures however you choose. Just because they consented to have their photo taken doesn't mean they consented for you to put it in your promo for your business or your event or whatever else. And so this isn't really about saying, gotcha, you're wrong. And I don't think that we have people out there who are evildoers, who are breaking the rules because they don't know what the rules are. And so I think part of this class is to teach people how to avoid risk, legal liability, but beyond that, it's the ethical considerations of how you use other people's intellectual property and how you use other people's images.